fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue today to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've been thinking quite a bit over the last few weeks about the precious gift that we've been given in the Holy Spirit, but how often that gift, which is at the center of what it means to be Christian, I mean, the great truth and the great reality of what God has given to us, the foundational gift of the faith, is a person, Jesus Christ, who exists at the right hand of the Father in glory, who became one of us so that he could do this very thing. That is to, as at the end of Luke's gospel, it says that Jesus tells the apostles that they've been clothed with power from on high, and that they should go forward in that power and share the gift, the promise of the Father, with all those they meet, all those who are willing to repent and come to Christ, and all those who say yes to the offer of salvation. Christianity is not just a fraternity and a religious organization. Christianity is a body, a living body. The church is that body that has been brought into existence, not by the decisions of men coming together and convoking and creating something, but the church is literally born of the Holy Spirit. That's why, as I said yesterday, at the beginning of this week, as I began to kind of unfold really God's plan of salvation and the working of the Holy Spirit at the center of it all, we see on the day of Pentecost, the day the church was born, Jesus said, "Wait, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses." The church, the Catholic Church, is born of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle. And it's the same Spirit that's in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Scripture tells us Jesus is the head now, and we're the body. The church is a living organism, and we're made alive through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're not made alive just because we're saying, yeah, I'm signing up for this. I want to do this. But the life that's within us is God's own life. That's why baptism is crucial. It's inescapable. It's essential. Because in baptism, that very life of Jesus is communicated to us. And we're united to his body. It's a living body, a living organism. So as I said yesterday, the apostles then say to us very clearly, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's something great in you if you're born again by water and the Spirit. You become a temple of the Holy Spirit. God himself comes to dwell in you. I was thinking this morning of the 7th chapter of John's Gospel, when Jesus was in Jerusalem, celebration of a feast, and it says, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. What does all that mean? This passage kind of echoes what Jesus said earlier in John's 4th chapter of John's Gospel, encountering the woman at the well. Jesus said the same thing, from within will flow rivers of living water. John now writes this looking back after having received the gift of the Holy Spirit and having Jesus, as it were, tapping this fountain or this well within him in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so that it's not just graces that come from without, but from within, because God has made a home in us and a home in him. But John tells us Jesus was telling everyone what was to come. He wasn't just pointing out something they already had. This is very important to see. But that's something that would come, and it would come through Jesus. It would come because of Jesus. Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The process through which the whole coming of the Holy Spirit unfolds is in the person of Jesus. We go all the way back to the moment of his conception, when the Holy Spirit touched Mary, and by virtue of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born in her. Christ came alive in her, was conceived in her. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided both she and Joseph to make a safe path at a place for Jesus to be able to come. The Holy Spirit guides the entire work from the beginning of salvation. I said yesterday, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. As he comes out of the River Jordan, he comes clearly under the power of the Spirit. The description of what happened in the River Jordan and a manifestation of both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus coming forth in the power of the Spirit. Jesus then goes to fight the fight against Satan in the desert. He defeats him under the anointing and leadership of the Spirit. He then leaves the desert, and Luke tells us in chapter 4 that under the anointing of the Spirit and the lead of the Holy Spirit, he goes back to his hometown. And there, as I said yesterday, he stands up and reads the Torah portion in the temple from Isaiah that said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." So we can see in Jesus the new man, the new woman. What's a disciple? A disciple is someone who's been born again by water and the Spirit through baptism, who now has God's life within them. And each person, as Pope John Paul II said at one point, every single baptized and confirmed Catholic, every baptized Christian can stand up and ought to look in the mirror and be able to look at themselves and say, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news, to bring liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, to announce the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, the year of God's forgiveness and mercy for the whole world." John tells us here that it's essential. The coming of the Spirit is the direct result of Jesus' first becoming one of us in the incarnation and uniting heaven and earth in the Spirit. It's Jesus' ministry, his teaching, which went forward in the power of the Spirit. We saw the reality of the outbreak of the kingdom of God in the workings of the Spirit who is confirming the teaching and preaching of Jesus. As he spoke and as he reached out, as he prayed, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is how we know the Spirit, by the Spirit's manifestations and signs. But the Spirit leads Jesus to Calvary, where he destroys the hold of satanic power on the human heart and on human beings. Jesus conquered the one who led people into slavery to sin and death. The Spirit led Jesus to Calvary to break the back of Satan. And Jesus offers up that Spirit to the Father on the cross. In those final moments of his life, he offers himself and he offers his Spirit. He forgives us. All of it is essential for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus passes through death. He obliterates the hold of death on him, on his human flesh. So he's the first one. He's the firstborn now of a new creation in the Spirit. And Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father in glory. And he receives from the Father recognition as a faithful son. The Father welcomes him. The Father bestows on him his whole kingdom. He gives to him his inheritance, and he gives over to the Son the authority to pour out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. That's what John means by this verse once again, verse 39, chapter 7, I'll read to you. It says, "Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is important because some people want to say, even some theologians, I think, who are quite confused, want to say, well, the Holy Spirit is there in everyone anyway, from the beginning. And Jesus just comes to kind of identify it. And everybody who's walking their own path and being faithful to their own path of whatever they feel led to in their conscience, the Spirit of God is on them. That's not what the Scripture tells us here. That's not what the church teaches us. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is in the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit is given to us and poured out upon us in power and rests upon us and becomes literally, we become a temple. I can't say that enough. The dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Because Jesus Christ, one of us, the head of a new race of people, is glorified in power and glory at the right hand of the Father. And it's from that place of victory, of splendor, of glory, of majesty, and of power that the Holy Spirit comes. It flows through Christ and flows into each and every one of us. And so as Jesus promised, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Going all the way back to the prophets, to Isaiah and Jeremiah and others, promising that God would give us a new heart. And that new heart is the Spirit within us, tenderizing our heart, teaching us to love, empowering us to have the heart of Jesus Christ. I want to read just one paragraph from the Catechism on the anointing of the Spirit. Paragraph 690, it says, Jesus is Christ, anointed. The word Christ means anointed, because the Spirit is his anointing. And everything that occurs from the incarnation on derives from this fullness. When Christ is finally glorified, he can in turn send the Spirit from his place with the Father to those who believe in him. He communicates to them his glory, that is, the Holy Spirit who glorifies him. From that time on, this joint mission will be manifested in the children adopted by the Father in the body of his Son. The mission of the Spirit of adoption is to unite them to Christ and to make them live in him. What a beautiful summary. Friends, there's just so much in the Catechism that is just inspiring beyond your imagination. There's such clarity here. And I want to encourage you, if you've never picked up the Catholic Catechism, to do it. It's online for free, or you can go buy a copy of it and just read it. It's not hard to read. It's filled with Scripture, and it's filled with the Church's understanding of the fundamentals of the faith. It's so helpful. But let's end the program today with just remembering this. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' anointing, and Jesus manifests that Spirit in his life, and then he gives that Spirit to each and every person who believes in him, repents of their sins, enters the waters of baptism, and then they're adopted as a son or a daughter of God and anointed for his mission. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.